Anita and I are so pleased to be back in Israel again and to be back at Narki Street Congregation again. Many of you may know that we lived in Israel many years ago. We lived here for quite a time. We lived actually in Israel for 19 years, from 1965 until 1984. And then we lived in Cyprus from 84 until 97 and spent a lot of time coming back to Israel. And we've been in the diaspora for 10 years. We've been away in America, and now God has given us the privilege of coming back to not only to Israel, but to Jerusalem, where we had not lived before. And we're loving being back, and we're loving being back and living in Jerusalem this time. And especially seeing so many of our wonderful friends that we've known over the years here in Israel and in Jerusalem. Today we want to talk about walking in faith, and if you want to get your Bibles open to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, that's where we will be taking some selected passages. Hebrews 11, chapter 11 from the Epistle to the Hebrews. Some recent events have kind of prompted me to think in this area and to speak on walking in faith this morning. We live in an apartment out in the area called Arnona. It's an apartment owned by the kibbutz Ramat Rachel. And, you know, it's not that you get a lot of people coming in to visit you, but one night I had heard the buzzer ring in our apartment, and I opened the door, and kind of too surprising to me, there was a yeshiva student, very orthodox yeshiva student, standing there at the door. And he had a handful of books, and he wanted to sell me these books. And they were all in Hebrew, and he was speaking to me in Hebrew. And I said in my Ivrit Kala, in my easy Hebrew, I said, I don't speak Hebrew very well, and I don't read Hebrew very well. So he switched to English very quickly and pulled out his English book that he had. And his English book had a fascinating title to me. He said, the title of that book was The Garden of Emunah. Now, Hebrew in Emunah is faith, the garden of faith. And he said, this was written by my rabbi, and he says, if you will read this book, your life will be changed. He says, I've read this book many times, and my life has been changed. Well, I couldn't, you know, pass up the opportunity to read what was in this book, A Garden of Emunah, with that kind of representation. He was doing a great job of evangelizing of course, he thought I was an Olei Chadash, a new immigrant, and he was going to get me to come to his yeshiva, which is located right behind my prayer center, which is kind of interesting, too. But I bought the book for 40 shekels. Unfortunately, I haven't read it all because another person came by and took it and said they wanted to read it. But it does talk about faith. It talks about faith or emunah b'shem, in the name of God. But unfortunately, it doesn't talk about faith in Christ. Another thing that kind of began to make me think of this chapter was that we are developing a prayer center on the other side of town. And in that prayer center, the whole theme of the prayer center will be taken from the book of Hebrews. Who is Jesus? Who is God's revelation to the world today? Who is he? And I won't go into all that, but of course, to me, the greatest chapter in the book of Hebrews is the 11th chapter. This great roll call of the heroes of faith that we read about. And we'll talk about some of those today. Another thing I was thinking of this church. We've had a long association with this church, even though we have never, this congregation, even though we have never been a member of this congregation. And I think probably the most vivid memory I have of Narki's congregation was on that morning in 1982, when I received a phone call, living in Nazareth, that the church had burned, that it had actually been burned. And right out there where that nice green garden, that green yard is now, was a little chapel that had been built in the 1930s. They'd added some interesting side parts to that chapel, but on that day, on that morning, the chapel had been burned. And the thing that came up on that chapel to me was a statement of faith. And I think that's been to me the pattern of this congregation, that this church, this congregation has walked by faith. This banner you see behind these beautiful young people back here, which says Beauty for Ashes. This was a church, this was a building that was completely burned out. And on the back of that building, this banner was attached, that to this community we were saying, these are ashes, but out of these ashes, God will give beauty. And it took a lot of faith to get from ashes to this beauty that you're experiencing this morning. It took more than 8 years of fighting a lot of legal battles to be able to build this congregation. But I believe it was by faith, walking through the tent we used to meet in the back and a lot of other things, that you folks who were here in those days, by faith, walking by faith, were able to say, yes, God has raised up beauty out of ashes. You know, faith is looking forward. Faith is looking beyond the circumstances of our day. It's looking to what we know God will do in the future. Now, when we talk about walking by faith, it might be good to think a little bit in the beginning about what is faith. You know, if we're walking by faith, then we answer that question, what is it we're walking in? Many people think that living in faith is living in a way that is contrary to fact. They feel that faith is living in fantasy or in fiction. They kind of feel that when a person says, I walk by faith, that person somehow is not accepting the hard realities of life. That they're somehow fooling themselves into believing that something is real when it is not. That's not faith at all. Walking in faith is living in the greatest certainties, both in the present and in the future, that we can know. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. These two words that just jump out of that verse to me, sure and certain, are not fiction words. They are words of fact. We can be sure and we can be certain. These two words assure us that our faith has its beginning, a certain and sure beginning, and it has a certain and sure ending. The beginning point of our faith is believing in God's character. We can be sure of what we believe because of who God is. And there is nothing more sure than that in all of our existence. We can also be certain of our faith because of God's promises to us. They are sure and they are certain. They are not fiction. They are fact. So the end of faith, the message of faith, is that it is something which is sure. It is something which is certain. It is something that we can believe in. I like the Message paraphrase, as it takes these two verses into another dimension. And it reads, faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. The foundation fact of existence. Faith is the foundation fact of existence. Not just any fact of life, but faith is the foundation fact of life. It's that foundation on which we build all of our life, faith. And when we walk in faith, we walk in that certainty, we walk in that surety, that God is our foundation, that God's promises are for us, and that we will know them. How then do we walk in faith? What are some of the attributes of walking in faith? And we'll look at some of these, just pulling out some scriptures from this chapter. First, I was impressed that walking in faith is attributing to God the means and the meaning of our existence. Verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed and God, at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." It's by faith that we know that we are here by God's purpose and plan. We are not an accident of nature, or the result of evolution, or of natural selection. We are sure that God created us and that we can have a personal relationship with Him. Our means of being here is God's purpose in our life, and we live in our life by faith, knowing that to be true. But not only is He the means of our life, He is the meaning of our life as well. In verse 6, we find, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." By faith in God, we find meaning in life. By faith, we not only know that He exists, but that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It is not enough to believe that God exists. Even the devil does that. We must seek Him by faith, and when we do, He rewards us with purpose and meaning in life. Yes, faith is attributing to God the means and the meaning of our existence. Walking in faith is also obeying God rather than seeking worldly wisdom and comforts. Verse 7, "By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." I think it's really hard for us to understand how foolish Noah must have looked when he began to build the ark. Some people say that it had never rained. Certainly the world had no idea what a flood was. It said in this chapter, we didn't read it there, but it said it had never happened before. No one had that kind of a background. And when this old man, quite an old man, began to build this large boat that would look something like the Titanic standing in the middle of the desert, I'm sure that his detractors had a lot of things to say about him. Probably that he was crazy. That's what are you doing, old man? What are you wasting all your money? What are you doing with your time? I'm sure it was not an easy thing. But Noah did not listen to the wisdom of his day. He did not listen to the ridicule of his neighbors, but he listened to God, and he listened by faith. And because he did, we are here today. He saved mankind through his faith. But also we find that we sometimes want the pleasures of the world, but by faith we give them up. And we find in verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time." I suppose more than any man in all history, Moses had life made. The best of life was his. Best of life that could be found in his day. He was the grandson of one of the most powerful men on earth. He could have wallowed in the opulence of Egypt and let his people continue to suffer in slavery. He had really, personally, nothing to gain and everything to lose by identifying with his people who were slaves. But you know, what if he had stayed in Pharaoh's court? What if he had enjoyed the pleasures of the world? What if he had said, "I like this place. It's comfortable here. It's going to cost me too much to do what God is asking me to do." Would we ever have known of Moshe? Probably not. He would be obscure in history. But because, as the Bible says, that he gave up the pleasures of the world for the sake of Christ, we know him as one of the greatest figures of all history. And just in a few weeks, we will be celebrating Passover, the event that he led the people out of Egypt through. We know him not because of his riches in Egypt. We know him because of his walking in faith with God. With a very stubborn people, he and God had some interesting conversations. There were times when he told God, they're your people. And there were times when God told to Moses, they're your people. But he was faithful. He walked with faith, and because of that, we have all that we enjoy in God's word and in God's covenant and God's working with us. Don't be fooled giving up the world for the things of God. That's faith, and that's walking with God. Faith is obeying God rather than seeking worldly wisdom and comforts. But faith is also walking in the present, in the light of the future. Verse 8 and 9 says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham left the known to go to the unknown because he knew that God had something better for him in the future. I'm sure Abraham must have sometime questioned, God, why am I leaving Ur? Why am I leaving all these places where I've settled and where I seem to be able to, life is going good? And then for some reason you say, keep moving, Abraham, keep moving, Abraham, keep moving. And because God kept moving him, Abraham had that vision of faith that God had something greater out there for him. And I think when we walk by faith, that's the way we walk. We know that, yes, this is what God has for me today, but God also has more for me in the future. He has more that he wants to give me. And I walk with him in faith because I know that he will give it to me. But Joseph had a similar kind of faith, because in verse 22, by faith Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instruction about his bones. Do you know how many years it was between Joseph's instructions and the carrying out of those instructions? That was a long look of faith. Something like 400 years. But he knew that God would take the people back. He had faith to know that God, who had brought them there, would also take them back. And because he walked in faith, he was able to say, "When I'm going to die, I'm not going to be here then. But take my bones with you." That's living today with the future in mind. Let us not get too caught up in today. I've lived long enough to know that God has much more ahead. God has so much that he wants us to experience. He has other lands to know. He has other people to meet. He has other miracles to perform. He has things that he's doing in our life as we continue to live in the present in light of the future that God will lead us on. We find also that walking in faith can result in miraculous deeds and victories. Verses 32 to 35 are a rather long passage, but I think it sums it up well. I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms. Boy, that's quite a list of folks that he didn't have time to talk about. They were great, great folks who we read about in the scriptures. They conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Whose wisdom was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received their dead raised to life again. Now, when we talk about walking in faith, that's what we want to walk like, right? We want to walk in victory. We want to see our dead raised. We want to see people healed. We want to see justice administered. We want to see kingdoms captured, conquered. And we want to see the flames quenched and all of those kind of things. Those are great things of faith. And we say, hallelujah for their faith. And we always do. That's what we expect. We love to see the miraculous happen. And this is what we associate with life walking in faith. But right in the middle of that last chapter, just where we stopped in verse 35, there's an abrupt change. It goes from victory to what we would consider defeat. From victorious deeds to facing opposition and even death. For you see, faith may result in miraculous deeds and victories, but we must also remember that walking in faith will very often result in opposition and death. For the rest of that verse 35 goes like this: others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. What does the Bible say about these? Did it say that their faith was weak, therefore they suffered? Are they less worthy than those who experience victory? What about them? What about these folks who had it tough? Who didn't have all the victory and didn't have all the miracles, didn't have all those things that we associate with walking with faith? It says they were commended for their faith. Whether they experienced victory or defeat, life or death, miracles or failures, they were all commended as men and women of faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Verse 39 is a tremendous verse. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. All of those folks of that great roll call of faith, if I read this passage correctly, says that they with us will receive all that had been promised. The fulfillment of their faith and our faith is Jesus. Probably the most famous doubter in the New Testament was the Apostle Thomas. He had to see to believe. But when he did see, he believed and declared, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Yes, Jesus is the one in whom we receive the promise. He is the one in whom all men of all time, walking by faith, that's the promise that they look forward to. For in 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "No one can lay any foundation other than at the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. What was that? The fact of our existence. The basic foundation fact of our existence is faith, and that faith is in Jesus, who is the foundation of our life. Unfortunately, the book I bought from the Orthodox Yeshiva student, The Garden of Emunah, speaks of faith in Hashem, but not in the name of Jesus. This faith is misplaced, for at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So how do you live today? Do you live on that certainty, on that surety of Jesus? Some people live looking around. What's life like? What's happening to me? What's going to happen next? And usually live in a life of worry. Some people spend all their time looking back. They look back and are sorry and live a life of sorrow. But I challenge you today to live a life looking up, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, considering him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Keep walking in faith. Keep looking to Jesus. Run with perseverance the race that is set before you. Lord God, we pray today, as the disciples prayed, increase our faith, Lord, that we might live in that sure reality that you are the foundation of our life. And because of who you are and the promises that you have made to us, we can run with perseverance the race that is set before us. We can walk in faith, looking unto Jesus, who is not only the author of our faith, but who is also the finisher of our faith and of the race. For we praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Just to read those two verses again, verse 39 and 40. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And thank you. Thankful for the emphasis on whether God has led us to experience miraculous or seeming failure. Together we can rejoice in his faithfulness and his goodness to us. Father, we pray that if there is one here, even one person who has yet to make you Lord and Savior, to trust you, whose life you come to give us life more abundantly, thank you, Lord, that we can do that at this moment and make you Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, that you have made yourself real to us in so many wonderful ways, through hardship, through victories, through plenty, through leanness. Lord, you've revealed yourself in all of life's ways that have been thrown at us. Thank you, Father, for your presence here today and for the fellowship that we've enjoyed and that we'll continue to enjoy after. We bless you, Lord, that you have great plans for this nation, for all the peoples of this land and the lands around about. Lord, you love them with an everlasting love. And you're going to fulfill your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can be a small part of what you're doing here in this land. As we remain faithful to you and standing in faith, believing your word for its fulfillment in us and it's in these peoples. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen.